I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let us turn to hymn number 333 and stand together as we sing, please. Al Watkins, senior ADIV student from Wilmington, is going to sing for us. A friend of his has come to share with us in this worship service today, Reverend Wayne Catlett, who is a Church of God evangelist. Reverend Catlett, we are pleased to welcome you to the service today. Al, come now and sing for us. For all the evil which we did to him. So they sent a message to Joseph, saying, your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, forgive, I pray you, the transgression of your brothers and their sin, because they did evil to you. And now we pray you, forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father. Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, behold, we are your servants. But Joseph said to them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones. Thus he reassured them and comforted them. And then in Romans 8:28, we know that in everything God works for good with those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. Let us pause for a brief prayer. Lord God of Israel and of the church, you who are the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and our God and Father also, both through creation and redemption, pour out your Spirit upon us this day. Help us in our weakness. Energize us to obey your will, to do the work to which you have called us, whatever the cost, whatever the obstacles. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. The last 13 chapters of Genesis, chapters 37 through 50, gives us what is called in Genesis 37, verse 2, the history of the family of Jacob. Most of that history, most of that story, revolves around Joseph rather than his 11 brothers. And the timeline for the story of Joseph is significant. It goes something like this. At the age of 17, Joseph was put into a pit and sold by his brothers into slavery. Joseph's brothers took his long robe of many colors, his coat of many colors, as the King James Version calls it, that robe with long sleeves, and they killed a goat, dipped the robe in the blood of the goat, took it back to their father and gave the impression that Joseph had been killed by some wild beast. And Joseph, somewhere around the age of 17 then, was sold to Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of the Pharaoh, the captain of the guard. Some 13 years passed. During that time, Potiphar's wife falsely accused Joseph of trying to have sex with her. He was put into prison. There he met Pharaoh's butler and baker. And through the chief butler, the Pharaoh heard of Joseph and his interpretation of dreams. At the age of 30, Joseph was elevated by the Pharaoh to be the second in command of all Egypt. The Pharaoh made Joseph his prime minister or his governor. And Joseph prepared Egypt during those 7 fat years of plenty to face the 7 lean years of famine. And then somewhere around Joseph's 39th year, with 5 years still of famine to come, Joseph was reunited with his father and the remainder of his family. So after some 22 years, during which Jacob thought that Joseph was dead, having been killed by some wild beast, Jacob discovered that God had lifted his son up next to the king of Egypt, had installed him to be the Pharaoh's right-hand man. Another 17 years passed, according to the storyline. And then Jacob died at the ripe old age of 147. And Joseph's hand closed the eyelids of his father. By then, Joseph was about 56 years of age. And yet for another 54 years, Joseph lived and served in Egypt. Altogether, Joseph's service to the Pharaoh lasted 80 years. He died in the land of Egypt at the age of 110. But notice those 13 years in the pit and in the prison. Do not forget those 13 years. The storyline for the Joseph story also depicts him as a dreamer and as an interpreter of dreams. In fact, 2 of Joseph's dreams were related in Genesis 37, the sheaves bowing down to his sheaf, to him, in other words, and the sun, the moon, and 11 stars bowing down to Joseph. His brothers said, when he went out to check on them, "Here comes this dreamer. Let's deal with him and let's see what will happen to his dreams." Later, when 10 of Joseph's brothers went down to Egypt to buy food from Joseph, the governor, whom they had not yet recognized, the scripture says in Genesis 42:9, Joseph remembered the dreams which he had dreamed of them. Joseph accurately interpreted the dreams of Pharaoh's chief baker and chief butler. Also, he accurately interpreted the 2 dreams of Pharaoh. So he was a dreamer, but also an interpreter of dreams. And there may well be something significant to that in the story of Joseph. Without a dream, people perish. But with a dream, people flourish. And God's people always need dreamers and accurate interpreters of dreams. This story of Joseph illuminates several theological truths. For one thing, The story teaches us that bad things do happen to God's people. What Joseph's brothers did to him was evil. They put Joseph into a deep pit. They sold him into slavery. They took his beautiful long robe, dipped it in a goat's blood, and led their father to believe that Joseph had been killed by some wild beast. That was an awfully evil thing for his own brothers to do to him. And of course, Potiphar's wife did a great evil to Joseph. She lusted after him and then lied about Joseph to the men of her household and to her husband. And as a result, Joseph was thrown into the dungeon, spent years in prison as a result of this woman's cruelty. Bad things do sometimes happen to God's people. You and I are not exempt from having bad things happen to us, from being put into some pit or into some prison falsely, from being separated from our families and spending 13 years for something that we really did not deserve. Another thing that I see here in the story of Joseph is that bad things happen to God's people for a variety of reasons. Joseph's father gave preferential treatment to him. He loved Joseph more than his other sons because he was a son of his old age, the scripture says. And sometimes our parents can, through their misconduct, cause some bad things to happen to us. But we see in the story of Joseph how perhaps he was the cause of some of the things that happened to him. In fact, he told those dreams to his brothers and to his parents. He was so immature that he just blurted out those dreams and gave the impression that he wanted to be raised up above his family members. Perhaps he didn't know what he was doing, but he was being a braggart. And you don't always share your dreams with some people, lest they misunderstand those dreams. And so he would have to take some responsibility for what happened to him. Some of you will remember a few years back when Snoopy, the famous comic strip beagle, who always naps on his back on top of his doghouse, got a broken leg, a broken left leg. And a lot of people wrote in cards of sympathy to Snoopy. But he himself, there on the top of his doghouse, looking up at the sky, reflected and philosophized about his plight. In fact, he said, "My body blames my foot for not being able to go places. My foot says it was my head's fault, and my head blames my eyes. My eyes say my feet are clumsy, and my right foot says not to blame him for what my left foot did." And Snoopy looks about at the audience and confesses, "I don't say anything because I don't want to get involved." But I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, some of us, through our foolish acts, bring some bad things upon ourselves because of our immaturity, because we are too quick on the draw, maybe, because we lift ourselves up to be somebody when we're really nothing very much, but by the grace of God. As I said, bad things do happen to people for a variety of reasons. Sometimes our parents may account for some of it. Sometimes we account for some of it. In fact, Joseph himself, through his own moral purity, brought some of this upon himself because he believed in God and because he would not commit adultery and break up a man's family. He was lied about and put in prison. And so our own moral purity and our values sometimes cause people to do bad things to us. And of course, his brother's jealousy, that accounted for some of these bad things. Isn't it interesting that our enemies sometimes are those of our own household, our own brothers and sisters in the household of faith, even. Some of the biggest bullies I've ever met, some of the biggest Goliaths I've ever encountered are in the church. Not in the military, but in the church. And they cause some bad things to happen to us sometimes. That institution of slavery, that abominable institution, that structural evil called slavery, that caused some bad things to happen to Joseph. And God alone knows the heartbreak and the destroyed lives that the sinful institution of slavery has caused. But when bad things happen to God's people, and they will, and they do, for whatever reason, God's people should remember that God means it for good. Others may mean it for evil. In fact, Joseph said of his brothers, to his brothers, he said, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." What kept Joseph from caving in during those 13 years of slavery and imprisonment? What prevented Joseph from rebelling, from growing bitter, from becoming disillusioned, from cynicism, from nursing a revengeful spirit toward his brothers and toward those who had sought to destroy him? It was his belief that God's hand was upon his life, that God had planted that dream in his mind and heart. And while he got straightened out on the dream across the years, it never left him. He always remembered that God was with him. God was leading him. In fact, he learned what the Apostle Paul said in Romans 8:28, that in everything God works for good with those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. He believed and never stopped believing that God ruled and overruled in his life. He saw God working in his life when he was set over Potiphar's household. He saw God working in his life when he was made the assistant to the jail keeper and put in charge of all the other prisoners. He saw God working in his life when Pharaoh invited him to become the governor of Egypt. And if bad things happen to you, and they will, if they haven't yet, it may be because you haven't yet lived long enough. Whatever the reason for these bad things happening to you, if you'll remember that God has the power to work redemptively even with the evil things that come your way. You will be sustained, and you will see your dreams come true. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, you know that some of us are going through some tight and tough times right now and have been for years. We thank you for your hand upon our lives. We pray that you will sustain us in our suffering, in our tribulation, in our trials, in our troubles, that you will help us to get up out of the pit again, to break out of prison, even some self-made prison, and to see your purpose fulfilled in our lives. We want you to bless us and to help us, O God. We look to you for our deliverance and for the victory. Now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us all, and with our loved ones and friends, wherever they may be this day, both now and throughout all of time and eternity. Amen.